This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Well, hey there, friends. Look at us on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y. The Monty Show on YouTube. Again yesterday, many people asking, oh, you guys aren't doing the show anymore? Why aren't you doing the show anymore? We are. We're just not using Periscope.
Mainly because it's dying, but
You know, some would say the show is dying after the way Jake conducts himself in the pre-show meeting. But go ahead and search The Monty Show on Google. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You know, we them vixens of SEO and stuff. Ghosts are pulling babies under beds in the UK.
Okay.
And some would say ghosts are not real. I would say ghosts are absolutely real, and we'll talk about that coming up. We will get to Tiger Woods breaking his right legs.
Legs?
Oh, yes, legs. There's two bones. Each bone is... Never mind. Why do I bother? You know, I'm a learned.
What are you, an anatomy specialist?
This
now?
Is supposedly a house of learned doctors, and I have to explain plurality to you.
Okay.
Anyway, that's rather duplicitous. Anyway,
okay.
The point is.
Out, bro.
Anyway, the point is, we'll talk about Tiger's broken twig in a minute. I'm just too pissed off not to start with Devin Booker. So, Jake, give me your oral machinations. It's going to be a long show. I'm just warning you now. Give me your orally copulated feelings on Devin Booker. We argue over this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get into how badly he got
before you break my legs for what I'm about to say,
digitally inserted and left off the All-Star team, go ahead and tell me that Devin Booker is not a superstar.
I don't think he's a superstar. I do think he's an all-star. I do think he deserves to be there. I think that he is easily one of the most hated on players in the league from a fan perspective. I think he's certainly one of the best scorers we have in the game. He's right there with Paul George in terms of being able to score from anywhere on the floor any way he wants to. And it surprises me year in and year out now that he's not a starter or on the reserve list, that he has to somehow – you know, get in when someone's hurt. So this year it's going to be Anthony Davis. Who was it last year? I can't remember who it was last year.
Your mom.
Filled in for. But either way, he shouldn't have to be into the All-Star game, you know? Like
your
he
mom.
Should. Yeah, I get it. My mom. I understand, okay? We get it. Anyway, point is he just – it's crazy to me that he's not an All-Star. I don't get it.
I think it's insulting, and I think it is incredibly disrespectful. But it's also validation for something that we've talked about on this show for a long time. Devin Booker should be an LA Laker. He wants to play for the Lakers. It's well documented his relationship with Kobe Bryant. And now it's well documented that his time with the Phoenix Suns is hurting his career. And it just continues to perpetuate and grow this idea that if Devin Booker truly wants to develop into an iconic figure in NBA history, which he says he does, he says he wants to be the very best. I know he also says he wants to be one team book. I totally get that. But at some point, it's not going to be good enough to be in Drake songs and have Drake rapping about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like at some point, it's got to be about winning rings and championships,
mm-hmm.
right? And as long as he's in Phoenix, I don't think that's a possibility. I don't think he ever gets lauded and respected the way he deserves if he stays on the Suns.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the Suns are – at the beginning of Devin Booker's career, it was kind of like this whole Cinderella story kind of narrative that Devin Booker was pushing with his career. I want to be a one-team guy, and I'm going to sign this five-year extension and all this jazz. When he signed that deal, I think he was saying to himself – yeah, we're going to get better. Like, they're going to spend the money to improve the team, and we're going to be a postseason contender and do all this stuff. Man, you fast forward several years now, Book's the only one that's been getting better. I mean, finally, like this year, finally, they go out and get a guy in Chris Paul who really is only a Phoenix Sun. by some people's standards, because he couldn't, he had already spent time in LA. He had already done a bunch of things in the league, you know? So now he comes here because he needed a new home. And so if you're Devin Booker, that's not the recipe for going out and winning a Western Conference Finals or going out and, you know, finally getting to the postseason and doing something nice. I mean, hell, they go 8-0 last year in the bubble. 8-0. And what do they get for it? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not a sniff. Nothing. And that's why I'm saying, like, I don't think that the Suns will ever actually straight up trade him to the Lakers, because I just don't think that that front office team is ever going to do that. But once Book becomes a free agent, yeah, I think it's Laker time. And the problem for Book too, and I think this, I hope that he understands this, is that when he becomes a free agent, which I think is, I want to say that's 2 years away still. I think it's like 2 or 3 seasons away still. Once that happens, he's going to have to get going and be very aggressive about making a run at the title.
But will he?
I don't know.
But will he?
I don't know. If he signs another contract with Phoenix, I won't feel sorry for his ass. I won't. If he signs another contract with Phoenix after this one's up, we can no longer feel bad for Devin Booker. We can no longer say, oh man, well, he's the most disrespected player in the league. No, you made a choice to continue playing for a team where you can't get the accolade you deserve.
Yeah, he's got 3 full seasons left.
So, and what's how old will he be?
I think he will be, hang on, I don't want to speak out of turn. And of course his age is, he will be 27.
So he'll be in his prime when free agency hits.
Yes.
You have to make the move. That has to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, man. I think he'll be gone before then. I don't think he stays in Phoenix through this contract. I think Devin Booker realizes, and if these snubs don't continue to do it,
mm-hmm.
and if the bubble didn't do it,
yeah,
he carried this team through that bubble run, and they still missed the playoffs. It's great they went and got Chris Paul. Chris Paul shouldn't be an all-star over Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Right? I really struggle with it. How much of this do you think is just the fact that the Suns have sucked for so long? Or, like, what is it about the Suns that makes them not good enough to that it's crippling him, in my opinion?
Because
now,
I think they're an afterthought when it comes to the media. I mean, we watch every morning. I roll up here and I turn on NBA TV so we can see highlights and just kind of have it on in the background. And every single morning, what do we get? We get the Nets, the Lakers, and whoever put up the biggest highlights last night, which is not the Phoenix Suns, ever. Now, Book has been known to hit some clutch shots and to hit some game winners and do some nice things, but at the end of the day, he's not the guy that's always going to be the flashiest player making the highlight reel. He is so smooth and so good at scoring the basketball that a lot of times it doesn't look pretty or exciting. He's just that good. And so when you play for the Phoenix Suns and not the Lakers or not, you know, the Nets, let's say, you're not going to get on NBA TV every night. You're not going to get on SportsCenter. You're not. And that's the really difficult part for me when it comes to Devin Booker, because at some point, and I feel like this is relatable to all of us, whether you're an NBA star like Devin Booker is, or whether you're, you know, the average Joe or whatever, whoever you are, at some point in life, you come to a situation where you're going to have to be selfish and like, you know, decide like, hey, like, you know, this is what I have to do to get to where I want to go. And I don't think he's done that yet. And I don't think if you asked him today, I wouldn't be surprised if he on some level regretted signing that contract instead of going to free agency. Because I think if he'd went to free agency at that time, he still would have got the contract. He just would have been in a better situation.
Yeah, and I think he would have taken a lot of heat for leaving Phoenix. I think he at the time he signed this deal, he had talked openly about wanting to be a lifelong single franchise guy. I just don't think that's realistic anymore.
Yeah.
And I think when you play for a guy like Robert Sarver, let's be honest, they were what, 4th in the West? This is as good as they have been in some years, mm-hmm. in a decade. And yeah, they got CP3, they got a new arena, they're building a new practice facility. That's all well and good. I just don't think any of it will matter because Robert Sarver will not go the extra mile to win a championship.
Yeah.
And he's not, CP3 and Devin Booker are not good enough to beat the Lakers, the Clippers, and certainly not the Jazz. So I just don't see a way that they win a championship. Who on this Western Conference roster should Devin Booker replace?
Man. Let me pull the list up just to make sure I don't mess it up.
Well, I can tell you straight away. How do you not know this off the top of your head? Well, because you're not a Devin Booker fan. He should easily replace Paul George, who just doesn't play enough games.
But see, here's the difference between him and Paul George. Paul George is a bona fide superstar in the league.
How?
What do you mean how? Like, he just is. Like,
Has he won?
No, but he's been there almost every year. He's been in the postseason almost every year.
Yeah, I don't know that that matters.
Well, that's your opinion.
So you think going to the playoffs is the only thing that separates Paul George and Devin Booker?
Yes, that's true. Yes, absolutely.
I think Devin Booker's just as good. I think they're very even players. Mm. I mean, if you put Book on the Clippers, they'd be just as good as they are today.
I think they'd be better because he
would be playing.
Dude, I'm not saying that Paul George is somehow a better player overall. What I'm saying is he's a star in the league and he's respected. Right, and Devin Booker's not. that's the difference here. That's the conversation we're having. So, you know, that's just what I think it is. Like this has always been the conversation for Devin Booker. He's really good. He's respected. He should be an all-star every single year, but he's not. You know, he just and again, I don't know if it'll ever be a possibility for him in Phoenix. I really don't know, man. And it's really sad because I feel like if Phoenix would do a better job, and this is something we saw firsthand when we were there covering the team every day, if they would do a better job with marketing, if they would be out more and they would do more things, he would be like, he'd be in the All-Star game, but he's not.
There's something to that because you don't hear about Devin Booker off the court.
Oh.
You don't, unless it's the, you know, occasional tabloid salacious, he's banging this girl, but with this girl, and he's got kids thing that we heard a couple of years ago. Outside of that, you just don't hear from him. He shows up with a real tight high fade, and he just knocks down jumpers. And people joke that he doesn't want double teams in pickup games. And, well, guess what? What has Devin Booker turned into? And I think this is the conversation that really matters. When you look at Devin Booker, and you look at the development of Devin as a player, this is a guy who has turned into one of the elite team players. He has completely changed his role this year. He is off the ball. His assists are off markedly, but why wouldn't they be?
Yeah.
His numbers have all stayed the same scoring-wise. His efficiency, he is, in my opinion, the most efficient scorer of two-point baskets in the NBA, and the numbers back that up. I mean, it is hard to find somebody else who can do it with his range. He can score from anywhere on the court, a foot to 20 feet. His two-point efficiency numbers are through the roof. I think him and Paul George are very even. Paul George is a douche, number one. And number two, the guy just has been injured all year with swollen bone marrow in his foot.
He is soft, there's no doubt.
Right?
I mean, he's soft. But
that's my point. Devin Booker will never be called soft.
Yeah.
I think he has become a tougher player. This year he has played more games. He has, knock on wood, for the most part, avoided those soft tissue hamstring injuries he's dealt with. And it seems like he is growing and developing, right? So, okay, I think he should be there over Paul George. Should he be there over CP3?
Yeah, he should be there over CP3. this is classic. Again, popularity vote, right? Chris Paul is by some people's standards, a legend in the NBA. You know, he's done a lot of great things. Another guy, though, that hasn't been able to win a championship. But I definitely think we can comfortably say that Chris Paul is one of the best point guards the league has seen over the course of his career. He's done some great things. But still, right here today, Devin Booker should be in over Chris Paul. You know, some of the other guys that I look at, again, I know we talk about Gobert every day, but like if you're asking me, hey, you know, is Booker more
deserving?
What does
he have to do? He's a center. Listen, it's not a problem that Rudy Gobert is on the All-Star team. He's not the reason that Devin Booker's not there.
Right.
He's a center, and he deserves to be there. Find me a better center than Rudy Gobert who's more deserving. There ain't one. I have no problem with Rudy being there, right? My point is, if you look at the guards who made that roster, you don't sign Chris Paul to make him a two guard, right? Like The reason the Suns are fourth in the West is partially Chris Paul, but mostly the domination of Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. Rudy Gobert has nothing to do with this conversation, in my opinion.
Right. I'm just saying, looking at the reserves list or anything, just for conversation's sake, like, there's a bunch of guys here that I could say that Devin Booker is better than, that Devin Booker has done more than, you know. That's all I'm saying. It's not a bash Rudy thing. I'm just looking at the list here and I'm saying, okay, well, you know, in the West, the players that are on the reserves list here that, you know, I could see Book being in over is like, you know, yeah, okay, Gobert, I could kind of see a case for Lillard, but Dame has a brand, and Dame, I feel like, should be a starter every year, but
and
he never
finally
is.
Played the entire season, pretty much.
Yeah, he's played 30 or 31 games. Yeah. So, like, you know, I don't know, man. You know what gets sick and tired of this conversation for me is the fact that we're feeling sorry for a guy who decided to stay there. Like, you can't have it both ways, and this is where I get with Devin Booker. You can't have it both ways. You can't on one hand say, well, I want to be a one-team guy, but then be all pissed off and upset that you didn't make the All-Star team because you play for a franchise that doesn't know how to market you as their superstar. Like, you can't have it both ways. And as much as I love the guy, because I really am a big Devin Booker fan, and I do think he's taken a ton of strides over the last, I would say over the last two seasons, Devin Booker went from a guy that was trying to be an All-Star in the league to being a guy that the league acknowledges should be an All-Star every single year. Like, that's the ground that he's gained. So,
well, it is interesting that you talk about Book as a marketing piece,
mm-hmm.
because I do think it's a pretty substantial issue. I think that the Suns have struggled to build revenue around him. I think because they haven't been trying to drive revenue through their, you know, crap hole arena. Until now, when their renovation is spectacular.
But notice, and Suns fans will relate to this. Notice they only want to start marketing after they've spent money, right?
Yeah.
After Sarver's put out a bunch of money. Oh yeah, well, we're gonna need to make that money back, so let's go ahead and start marketing.
Yeah, we need a return on our investment.
Like,
instead
of saying, hey, like, why don't we work our ass off to get Devin Booker into the All-Star game? Because here's the thing. Every NBA organization uses their official Twitter account to try and get fans to retweet it and to get all-star votes and all that stuff. But you can't just do that.
The thing that amazes me about the Suns is there's no, you know, Valley Chevy dealer, you know, Devin Booker on 100 billboards.
Yeah.
There's no... You know, like, he's not the face of anything.
But think about his presence in the NBA. When's the last time you saw Devin Booker on a commercial outside of the NBA?
I can't think of one.
Hulu on Sports is the only thing I've ever seen him do.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can't tell me he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
If I'm Devin Booker, the thing that has to start happening now is if you're not going to win, you got to start stacking chips,
mm-hmm.
right? You got to start making money on top of money on top of fucking money.
Yes.
And the only way you do that is by building brand. You're never going to probably be LeBron, Kobe, Jordan. Okay, fine. You don't have to be, right? But where's Devin Booker's shoe deal? How does Devin Booker not have his own shoe with Nike? Paul George, the douche of douches, has his own shoe.
One of the worst shoes that Nike puts out.
Now it is, by the way. It used to be amazing. But how does Devin Booker not have his own Kobe?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? Like, there's an opportunity there. How is, if you look at, like, look at Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
Luka's got a shoe coming. He's a Nike endorser. Like,
well, and where did he come from, though? He came from Europe where advertising and, like, marketing and all that stuff is way bigger than it is here.
But my point is, how is Devin Booker not driving the new Corvette? How is Devin Booker not driving the latest Bronco?
I don't know, man. He owns a Ferrari. He's a car guy. Like,
right,
I don't know how he's not doing an endorsement.
But my point is, how is this guy not front and center on everything happening in the Valley?
Yeah,
how is this guy not at every major gala?
How is
Kyler
Murray a bigger star in Phoenix than you are?
And he has zero personality, Kyler Murray.
Yet he still is a bigger star.
Devin Booker is 6'5", 210 pounds of drip and swag.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Put the guy on magazine covers. Mm-hmm. Put the guy on TV commercials.
He did do one. I can look it up. He did do one in the last couple months. I did see him on one magazine cover, but that's no consolation to what we're saying. You know, just to be clear, he did. I think it might have been Vogue or did something. I can't remember, but yeah, I don't know. It's a frustrating thing because the guy should be number one. You know, I wish he was more selfish. I wish that he would just be like, hey, look, like, I got to take the reins over my career here. You know, like, I got to do the right thing for me. And I have real concerns about whether he'll do that or not.
And maybe he's
shown that.
And maybe he's told his people that he doesn't want to be all out in front in public. And
maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
That could be an explanation. But I'm just telling you, when you look at this roster and this All-Star game roster for this year, and you start thinking about, like, what Book's going to have to do to get in every single year, he's going to have to get with a better franchise. Because that's what a lot of this is. I mean, look at some of the names on this list. Like, seriously. Look at Julius Randle from the Knicks. You tell me Julius Randle's more of a brand than Devin Booker? Come on
now.
Yeah,
but Julius Randle's having a career year.
Right, and what's happening to Julius Randle? Because he's having a career year, he's getting all this attention. But what he's doing is basically the same stuff that Book's been doing. You know? It's not... So, Book's been doing it. But yet, he's not getting the attention that Julius Randle is getting. I look at Zach LaVine. Book's twice the player Zach LaVine is.
But Zach LaVine plays in Chicago.
And so that's why he's in. So that's what I'm saying. You go up and down this list, and that's just the reserves. You know, I look at the starters. All these guys, you know, obviously deserve to be in. I look at Bradley Beal, and I say, you tell me that Book can't – Bradley Beal plays in Washington, dude. You can't tell me that is that much more of a major market than Phoenix. Like, come on.
You know what really pisses me off about this? You know who chooses the reserves? NBA head coaches choose the reserves. You're telling me they did it. Devin Booker, come on, man. Like, that's the thing. I can't. The guy's having a career year.
And nobody cares.
I mean, he is. It's amazing. He is. Yeah.
Nikola Vucevic is on the reserve list. Having a nice year, and Devin Booker can't get in.
Yeah, Paulie says Devin Booker is not a star because he has zero personality. When's the last time you saw him do a compelling interview? That's part of it.
Yeah, he never interviews. That's true.
Devin Booker needs to be on The Jump. He needs to be on ESPN. He needs to be on, he needs to be everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. I really, truly believe that a huge portion of this issue is the fact that he just doesn't have a good media person. Because a lot of NBA guys, like stars in the league, they've got one person that handles all that for them.
Yes.
They just tell them where to be. Guy shows up.
Yes.
Simple as that. He clearly does not have a good person doing that.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating. How do I always wind up picking the underdog?
Don't know.
How do I always want, like, know. Devin Booker, but in full disclosure, Devin Booker is by far my favorite NBA player.
Uh-huh.
By far, it's not close.
Right.
He is my favorite NBA player. Once Kobe and the whole thing and the hill and the helicopter and the
and
fog,
the clouds,
you know. Devin Booker is my favorite NBA player. There's no doubt about that. Sean says, morning, guys. The thing is, I've been saying is that the NBA All-Star selection is a popularity contest. Oh, the starters, there's no doubt about the starters being a popularity contest.
Listen, the fact that Klay Thompson was getting votes and contending to be on the roster is ridiculous to me. Like,
He hasn't played a game. He's injured. But the coaches picked the reserves. That's what really pisses me off. Sean also says, I give him the end of the season and he asks for a trade or release. Like Watt did. They won't release him. That just doesn't happen. You're not buying out Devin Booker. I could see them trading him. It depends. How far do they go in the playoffs this year? Because if the Phoenix Suns are a one and done in the playoffs, or somehow they collapse and they don't make the playoffs, which, by the way, if you look at the playoff standings, dude, it is not like the Suns have a 10-game lead.
Well, the West is never like that, man. I mean, the West is always basically – essentially, the way the West has been working out the last 5 years is it's the first seed and the second seed that kind of pull away from everybody. And then from the third seed down to the eighth seed is typically less than five games.
It's 2.5 games between the fifth seed and the ninth seed.
Yeah.
The Suns have a five-game lead over the ninth seed.
That's really – I mean, I know that sounds like a lot, but that's really
not
a lot.
I mean, that's a bad couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you go on a 3-4-game slide. You know, I mean, hell, look at the Jazz. I mean, for a minute there against the Hornets, we were like, man, are they going to take control of this game? So you figure, you know, lose to the Clippers, lose to the Hornets, and all of a sudden you're on a slide and now your spot's at risk. So the West is never guaranteed, ever.
It is really frustrating.
Yeah.
It is really frustrating. Mark says, typical Jake ripping Rudy Gobert with nothing to back it up.
I got everything to back it up, dude. I'll die on that hill. I will die on that hill.
Yeah. Fat Jesus says Booker is suffering from his relations with Kendall Jenner.
Ooh.
Well, it's probably the Kardashian Jenner curse. I mean, there is some reality to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus is not wrong about that. Will says, you're not picking the underdog. You just jock ride guys until they win, and then you forget they exist. What does that even mean?
Give me a couple of examples.
What does that even mean?
Let me get some examples, because I don't know what you're even talking about with that.
I don't know what that means. I've been a Devin Booker fan from way back in the day.
You have been. Devin Booker has been your favorite player since, I mean.
You want to know why I'm a fan? Because he got the Jazz should have drafted him.
Yeah.
That's when it started for me.
Mm-hmm.
He was unbelievable at Kentucky. The Jazz should have drafted him.
Nah, we'll pass on him.
And they didn't. And that, and I don't know why that instantly made me, you know, have a bro bone for him, but it did. Right? Like, come on, bro bone's pretty good. I stole that off of Instagram yesterday. I don't know why it did, but it did.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love, Will, to hear you name some names about who he's been jock riding or whatever you just said, because I don't think that you do that. But
well, Will's a Taysom hater, so my guess is that it's probably some
Taysom
Hill.
Listen, Will and the group of them, you know, have no idea why Taysom Hill is an effective NFL football player, or why Rudy Gobert is limiting the Jazz from winning a championship. But hey, everybody has their belief.
And you continue to piss people off on YouTube with that.
Hey, listen. Fact of the matter is, when they don't win a championship this year, they're not going to want to watch the show, because they're not winning a championship this year unless they go and make a trade for somebody.
Well, we should go back to our – I should go back to our
YouTube comments.
Back
to the comments.
I can't remember the guy's name who's all pissed off. By the way, is this as close as the Jazz have been to a ring since Stockton Malone?
Yeah. It is. Because they're not far. Again, this is what I think is funny about all the guys on YouTube.
Yeah.
They're like, you're saying that they're never going to win a championship and that they're awful. You're wrong. You don't watch Jazz basketball. No, that's actually not what I'm saying. I'm saying they're a wing scorer short, and Rudy Gobert has zero offensive game outside of cleaning up from 2 feet from the rim, and that's extremely limiting to the Jazz. So
yeah.
That's what I've been saying for a long time.
Let me see here. Who was it? Oh, I know. It was Derek Gray.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Derek Gray said, haha, you guys are pure comedy. This isn't informative sports talk. You bring up my comment from a couple of shows ago when you guys said he's a liability on defense, talking about Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive end, notice how many open shots the rest of the team got as the Hornets crashed the three on Rudy. See, here's the thing that I think that you don't understand. What happened in the Hornets game is completely different than what happened in the Clipper game. The liability on the defensive end against the Clippers, what did they do late in the fourth quarter? The Clippers pick and rolled into switches so that Rudy Gobert was forced to guard Patrick Beverley in the corner three times. Two out of those three, he hit threes. Patrick Beverley did. Rudy Gobert against smaller, agile, smart basketball teams, the Clippers, when they're 100% healthy, is a defensive liability in the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
because they will expose him. I look at the Clippers, and then I look at the Hornet game. What did the Hornets do? The Hornets sent 2-3 guys knocking the ball out of Rudy's hands.
Mm-hmm.
They limited him to the point where the Jazz were forcing Rudy Gobert into, you know, catch the ball at the top of the key and limiting him as a factor.
Yeah.
And did they make a lot of threes? No, not until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Right?
They got hot in the second half.
It is, you can say anything you want about Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that Rudy Gobert is an elite defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know, every year a defensive player of the year candidate.
Well, he should have won it last year. I mean, that was a huge controversy.
Nobody argues that.
Yeah.
He is a liability offensively.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, in the fourth quarter, and especially the last, I would say, 5 to 7 minutes of a game, you cannot give him the ball.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that he's going to be able to do with that. All you can expect him to do is rim run in the fourth quarter. And that's in this league, that's not good enough.
And here's the thing too, like, I agree with everything you said, and I think when it comes to expectations with Rudy, and this is what I said the day after they signed him that contract. the expectation for Rudy Gobert goes way up when you're paying him that much money. You know, like you when you're getting paid, I don't know what his number is this year, but essentially when you sign a long-term deal like that and you're getting paid way more on an annual basis and you're taking up way more of the cap, you have to do more. So that's why he's such a conversation piece with the Jazz, because again, you can criticize us and you can say we don't know what we're talking about and we don't watch games. The fact of the matter is we watch every single Jazz game. Every single Jazz game. There's a reason we have the NBA package, right? So when you watch every single Jazz game, what you come to understand is that there's one of two ways that NBA teams play the Jazz right now. Number one is they're going to go really small early in the game and they're going to try to get the Jazz out of sorts and frustrated early, which is exactly what the Hornets did, which is why we saw the Jazz struggle in the first half of that game to kind of pull away and kind of take control.
But how did the Hornets do that? They ran.
Yeah.
They played at a high pace. Now, what is it, Jazz and Lakers tonight? The Lakers are not going to play at that pace.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers, this is a really good matchup for Rudy Gobert because Anthony Davis isn't playing, so he doesn't have to worry about that.
And who's he get to guard?
He's going to be man up with Marc Gasol.
Yep.
And that's a win for the Utah Jazz. Absolutely, that's a win for the Utah Jazz. Now, it'll be interesting to see if Rudy is able to get his point production back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder then what happens when the Lakers go small with the Montrezl Harrell lineup.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how Rudy does
that. I would assume that Quinn Snyder would counter with
Derek Favors.
Yeah, I would think that would be the counter. Yeah.
And my curiosity is, how many minutes does Marc Gasol get tonight?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wonder.
And this would be a pretty aggressive move by Vogel, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't start Gasol and they went small kind of out of the gate for the first like 7-8 minutes of the game just to see, and they went small with Montrez to force Gobert to guard Montrezl Harrell. Wouldn't be surprised to see that because Montrezl Harrell is the ultimate, like, he's not a dirty player, but man, he is a gritty ass player, and he loves to get physical.
Yeah, he's not dirty, but Montrez is a handful.
He is, and I think imagine what that looks like if you put him on Rudy, and Rudy's on the defensive end. Like, yeah, Rudy's got the length and the size on him,
yeah.
But Montrez, I would say, has equal strength and he's quicker. So that's a big challenge. So I don't know, man. All I'm saying here with these YouTube comments about people saying that we don't know the Jazz or this is comedy or whatever, like, I don't take that personally, and I really appreciate you guys watching the show. But you guys really need to watch Jazz games and really understand what's happening with Rudy Gobert on the floor, because it is almost on a nightly basis where Quinn has to take him out to slow down the momentum of the other team, and then he brings him back in like 10 minutes later after he's rested.
Yeah, I you know, just kind of looking at, you know, some of Montrezl Harrell's, you know, games and matchups.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's a matchup where he struggles. You know, frankly, looking at the way that he's matched up against guys, his bigger games, you know, have come against some of the bigger centers in the league. So this will be interesting. You know, is this the first time the Lakers and Jazz have played?
I'd have to look. I think it might be. And I think, too, tomorrow when we talk about this game, you know, everyone's going to say, oh, well, you know, the Jazz won this game. What are you guys saying now?
Well, they're favored by 8.5 at
home.
I
mean, they should be
favored
to win this game. And I think that what I want to see out of this Jazz team tonight is I want to see control, right? I want to see them control this game. The Lakers should never be up by 10 or 15 in this game. The Jazz should control this game from the onset. I would love to see them get going with Rudy Gobert early. So in the games, and I can never remember the damn game that they did this in. There was one game that they played where Donovan was out and everybody was out, and they essentially just, Mike Conley essentially just played pick and roll for the first 10 minutes of the game with Rudy Gobert, and Rudy had like 15 in the first quarter. Like, he was dominating. I would love to see them do that tonight, because if they do that, I think that's going to make the Lakers' life incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think when you're the Jazz and you're at home, you should always be favored. And tonight, I don't think is any exception. I think Hornets Suns is an incredibly compelling matchup. Because these are two teams that love to play around the perimeter. It'll be interesting to see how long Graham's out for Charlotte, because I think that's a big loss for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the way Terry Rozier's been playing,
dude,
LaMelo is struggling at times in long stretches during games. The Suns should absolutely win this game. This is going to be a real challenge.
This is a game I could see the Suns dropping, though. This is that kind of game.
Yeah, this is not a great matchup.
Well, and you saw what the Hornets did with the Jazz. I mean, the Hornets, you know, gave the Jazz a lot of trouble for three quarters, essentially. And then the Jazz pulled away because they're a better team. But
well, one of the things I think is so interesting about Suns and Hornets is that the Suns have slowed way down this year. Since you, I mean, if you think about when we talk about the impact Chris Paul has had on this team, Chris Paul is not a run the break player.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is a dribble it up, play half court, execute the offense.
Yeah.
Whereas in the last couple of seasons, the Suns have been all about get up and down as fast as you can, as
and
many possessions.
Did we see?
Drive
More
and kick,
injuries.
shoot the three. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, with Point Book, they wanted drive and kick and pull up threes, and that's not how you win in the NBA. Mm. I think you have to play multiple styles.
Yeah.
The Suns have slowed way down, and I think they've executed the half court because of it.
Yeah, and I think that, again, this is something that pisses Suns fans off. I think that DeAndre Ayton has definitely progressed on the offensive end. I mean, he was
Absolutely.
That was always his skill set coming out of the draft, but I think he's definitely picked it up a little bit. And defensively, at least now, it's not as bad as it was, but there are still times where he is just lost. You know, he just loses his guy. But, hey, he's getting better, you know, and I think that's what matters. But, yeah, that's going to be a really entertaining game. I am looking forward to that one.
By the way, how about the Suns? 9.5 at home.
Yeah.
The number on that game is 225.
Jesus.
I mean, that's 112 points for each team is what you're saying.
That's a lot.
That's it. Well, I mean,
I guess it's not a lot by today's standards.
Yeah. But. I mean, I guess it's not. I don't know. I 9.5 over the Hornets.
The Hornets are not good.
I'd probably bet the Hornets on that. If you're a betting man, if you're on the FanDuel, I'd go and.
This is not professional financial advice, though.
No, I'd go and get the Hornets tonight.
Yeah.
I think the Hornets will cover that.
Yeah.
And my guess is it goes over the 225.
Probably.
You know, like that's
neither of them are good defensive teams.
That's why I don't bet sports. Like I don't
it's chaos.
I don't. I'd occasionally bet big games, Final Fours, Super Bowls.
Everyone does March Madness.
I'm not a daily bettor.
Yeah.
I'd rather lose money in the stock market than on gambling. make sure you make sure you place your smart bet. By hitting the subscribe.
Make sure you bet on us while clicking the subscribe button.
There you go. On YouTube, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Oh, Jake's been waiting for this one. Tiger Woods. If you don't know the full story of what happened to Tiger Woods yesterday, it is far more than just the physical car accident. Tiger Woods was at a resort hotel. As he is in Los Angeles, he is filming several TV shows and meeting with producers. So here's what happened yesterday morning. If you don't know, this is the full story. Tiger has a 8 a.m. meeting in Los Angeles at Riviera Country Club. He is in Rancho Palos Verdes, which, by the way, is in southern L.A. County. So he comes out to his loaner car because the Open gave him a Lexus SUV to drive for the week. So he parked that at his resort, came out to get in, and his truck, his SUV was blocked by a production truck because at the resort he was staying at, they're filming a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
He was running late, so he got pissed and started, raising his voice, Tiger did, and, hey, you need to move this truck. And by all accounts, he was really salty. He was really upset. It delayed him by a significant amount of time. Finally, the truck is moved. Tiger goes tearing out of the parking lot to the point where he almost hit the director of the TV shoot who was driving into the parking lot as Tiger was finally driving out. So before he got in the car accident, Tiger Woods was upset. He was frustrated. He goes storming out of the parking lot. Having been in that area, I can tell you that where Tiger got into this car accident is downhill into a flat. So it is notoriously fast. And so he's all pissed off and amped up anyways. He's late for his meeting at Riviera. So Tiger goes screaming down this hill too fast, hits a median, loses control of the SUV. It flips multiple times, goes well off the road. It is probably 25 yards off the pavement. And it lands, after barrel rolling, it lands on the driver's side door. And Tiger instantly realizes two things. He is severely injured, and he is trapped. He cannot move. He cannot get out of the car.
Terrifying.
That has got to be one of the worst. Now, knock on wood, I've never been in that situation.
I'm just assuming that he was knocked out in the car crash.
He was not.
He was conscious the whole time?
Yes. So how we know that is, when rescue rolled up on the scene, when the police got there and then rescue rolled up, they have now released the 911 tape of one caller and the dispatch tape of the officers on scene. They immediately knew somebody was in big trouble in that car because the language they used about heavy. On the tape, you hear the officer describing that they need to come in heavy.
Yeah.
Because that means the jaws of life, the car is destroyed, they can't get the guy out.
Yeah.
The officer said on CNN last night, he immediately noticed it was Tiger Woods. Because Tiger was going to shoot a golf show. He was going to Riviera to have a meeting. Then he was going to go and shoot some more episodes of a Golf Channel show he does, where he teaches famous people to golf. In fact, on Monday, he had put up a video of him and Dwayne Wade.
Uh-huh.
On social media. The officer noticed it was Tiger Woods because he had all of his gear in his car. And so they knew what they were dealing with and who they were dealing with.
Yeah.
They immediately called the jaws of life. They cut him out of the car. He was so seriously injured. They life flighted him to Harbor UCLA Medical Center in LA.
Yeah.
Which is like one of the best trauma centers in the country, by the way. And at the end of it all, somehow, some way, he just has fractures in his leg, in his right leg, it looks like. Now, this is a guy who recently had back surgery and has had multiple discectomies in his back. So you wonder what other lingering effects will come from this.
Mm-hmm.
But in total, it looks like that the injuries are that you have two bones in your lower leg, your tibia and your fibula. And those bones are both broken. His ankle is broken, and his foot is broken. All of that on the right leg.
Dude.
He went through hours of surgery yesterday immediately to try and save the leg, which they were able to do. And he is now resting in a hospital.
Bro.
If you look at that car.
It's not a car anymore.
I don't know how he survived that. The police said the only way that the only explanation is the safety technology in the Lexus and a seatbelt, which he was wearing.
Yeah.
That's the only way you survive something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I just think that,
wow.
You know, the tough part about this whole conversation is number one, I feel like that Tiger Woods is, there's always something with Tiger. Right, like whether it's the Perkins waitress, whether it's the breakup, I mean, there's always something happening.
Perkins waitress.
Like, there's always something happening with Tiger. He's one of those folks that always finds himself in like precarious situations that either will make them look foolish or like will hurt them or whatever. You know, so I'm not blaming him certainly, but what I am saying is that at some point, if you're Tiger Woods, don't you just make a phone call? Can't he just say, hey, listen, this TV production truck blocked me in, and it took us 20 minutes to find the driver, so I'm going to be late. I'm so sorry about that. Like, that's what surprises me about this whole thing, when I hear the story.
Well, it sounds like, and I don't know, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but, I mean, it sounds like you're talking about, you know, whether or not Tiger Woods wasted his prime. And I think there's a legitimate argument in that direction to be had. Because everything went wrong the minute that Elon Woods hit him in the face with that golf club or whatever happened.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that story, Tiger Woods had he used his driver on hose from every continent, essentially. I mean, he, from porn stars, like Tiger is a sex addict.
It's notorious, yeah.
Porn stars, hookers. Jake talked about a waitress at Perkins in the back of an SUV. I mean, it is amazing that Tiger Woods was standing on top of the world. When his dad passed away, Tiger got a phone call while he was in bed with a pro. He got a phone call that his dad died. Like, that's the life that this guy was leading. His wife finds out about it. Tiger had taken Ambien and painkillers at home. His wife finds out, goes after him with a golf club. Tiger gets in his Cadillac under the influence of Ambien and smashes into a median in Florida.
It's not his first time.
And we've never had that same Tiger Woods back again.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who believe Tiger's wasted his prime. And I got to tell you, I don't disagree. How many more majors would he have won? How much more money would he have made? I don't know. And maybe I don't care, to be honest with you. Maybe that's what comes to my mind, is I really don't care.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch a guy continually make poor choices and sabotage himself.
And it makes me wonder, just, and again, based on the story that we've been told, so he comes out of the place, he gets really upset because he's blocked in, he's all pissed off and yelling at people, and it essentially sounds like he was kind of like raging almost, like he was that upset about it. And it just begs the question, like, dude, like, you, what made you get so mad? Like,
yeah.
You literally, think about this, let's put this in perspective. This guy is a professional golfer, the best golfer of all time by most people's opinions. And you're getting mad because you're blocked in, because that will make you late for an appointment.
I mean,
right, but like, there's a difference between being upset and then going way over the top to the point where you almost hit somebody leaving the parking lot, and then you're still so upset that you go flying down this hill.
I don't know that he was upset when he got in the accident. I think he was trying to make up time.
Well, whatever the case may be, my point is that you're Tiger Woods. You're not some production assistant. Make a phone call. Tell him, hey, like value yourself enough to say, hey, like, I get it. I'm late, and I'm sorry about that, but this is what happened. Like, that's the shame in this whole thing.
Well, I don't think Tiger has to apologize, and I would agree with you that if you're Tiger Woods, you can be an hour late to a meeting, right? I think the hard part is that we none of us have the proper perspective in moments like that. I've done that. Like,
the difference is you didn't drive off the damn road and
right,
almost
but how many
yourself.
Times have you and I been in a car together where we're racing somebody down an on-ramp?
But that's
and one of us is wetting ourselves because we're not in the driver's seat.
But that's different.
Is it different?
Yes,
like, it's a lack
different.
Of perspective, right?
Right, but here's the
how many
difference.
Times have we been in a car together going 120 miles an hour?
Right.
Many.
You're focusing on the wrong thing. Here's what I'm saying. It's not about the speed. It's about why you were doing it. Racing somebody on an on-ramp is fun. You're not going to kill yourself doing that, right?
Well,
going down a hill in not on a freeway, because that's a pedestrian street he was on, going that fast, going downhill into a flat that leads you into a corner and rolling your vehicle. Do you know how fast you have to be going to roll
man.
A modern day vehicle? Like, even if it is a crossover,
the
those cars are built not to roll.
The violence and the force.
Like, listen, I'm not saying he made the choice to
no.
go and roll his car.
No, he made a mistake. He made
yeah,
a mistake.
Like, I just right? I, like.
In, but how many mistakes has this guy made?
Yeah.
If you, like, how many lives does this guy have
left? And to be super clear, I'm not saying that I don't feel bad for him, because I do. That's a horrific accident. That is I would wish that on nobody.
Yeah, but your life is forever altered.
But what I am saying is if we're going to have the perspective conversation, this is the perspective that I think that we need to have. He's a professional athlete. He's got everything he could ever need in life to be successful. Everything. Yet you're still so upset to the point where you're rolling your car because you were going probably in surplus of 100 miles an hour down that hill at most likely.
No, I guess he'd be doing 60 to 80.
Okay, 60 to 80 on
when
a pedestrian
you, and
street.
And then
yeah.
you hit a median. And you're done.
You're done. It's
you're
over.
You're along for the ride at that point.
And it's just so it's. I guess the reason I feel frustration on this is because it just should have never happened. Yeah. It never needed to happen. It never needed to be here. We never needed to be here having this conversation. This is like the same frustration I feel over Kobe dying. The pilot should have never flown that day. It should have never happened. We shouldn't be here having to talk about like why Kobe's not here anymore, you know? But we are, because there are mistakes that are made. So it's just as frustrating that powerful athletes get put in interesting positions.
It is. And you know, looking at you know, Rancho Palos Verdes, for those of you who don't know, and I'm just reading some of the stupid messages about Tiger Woods, like,
I'm guessing he's not being treated well on YouTube.
He's not, which is fine. But looking at where he was, Rancho Palos Verdes, Rolling Hills Estate.
It's beautiful.
It's on the peninsula. It's just west of Long Beach. It's a beautiful area. It really, truly is. It's just unfortunate. The whole thing is unfortunate. I hope this is the end of the ridiculousness for Tiger. I really hope. I was listening to a national radio show yesterday, which was probably a mistake, but he was compared to O.J. Simpson. And now, granted, murder and hookers are two totally different things. But are they really that far apart? If you look at the way the careers are derailed, and you look at just the awful decisions
mm-hmm.
that guys in power make, it is remarkable to me.
Yeah.
If you look at, like, the other thing that you know, I was listening to, I think it was NPR at one point yesterday, about the comparison of Tiger Woods and Donald Trump. Okay. Because they golf together.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
They are
friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they both just make horrible choices. Like, it's remarkable that money does not buy you intelligence.
No.
Money does not buy you ethics and morals.
In fact, I would say that money buys you more opportunity to screw yourself.
I mean, if you think about the damage that powerful men have done to themselves, whether it's Bill Clinton, whether it is
Jeff Bezos, Tiger, Donald Trump.
I mean, the list is endless.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to understand that money doesn't change you.
Mm-hmm.
Money simply reveals your true self.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have more money to feed your desire.
Yeah.
You have more money to feed your deviance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at guys like Donald Trump, you know, paying porn stars.
Yeah.
If you look, like, if you're Donald Trump, and this is the Tiger Woods thing that I've never understood. You're Tiger Woods. Are you telling me there is not a chick who will not lay down with you pretty much on the entire world?
To
prove that point,
yeah.
You went from banging hookers and Perkins waitresses in the back of your SUV to laying in Lindsey Vonn's bed on a regular basis. Tiger Woods doesn't need hookers and Perkins waitresses. He wants them.
Cocaine and hookers, my friend.
He wants them, right? Like, that's the thing that's so spectacularly ugly about the Trumps, the Clintons, the Woods, the OJs. They want it. They need it. If it's not heroin or meth, it's hookers and blow. Like,
I want it.
It's sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
what
you will, and this is what I've always said about this, and then we're going to talk about ghosts pulling babies under cribs in England. What I've always said is, it's amazing what rich people will pay to wreck themselves.
And he will every single time.
It is amazing that Gwyneth Paltrow will shove rocks in her vagina and then lose millions of dollars because of it. It is amazing that Donald Trump will allegedly pay off Stormy Daniels because he wanted to stick his ugly mushroom head in her garden.
It's actually not that easy, but for me it was easy.
And will lose a fortune because of it.
So I said, yeah.
It's amazing that Bill Clinton will lose all respect and a lot of integrity to get some blowy from Monica on her blue dress in the Oval Office because he can.
You are what you are.
It's amazing that Tiger Woods likely gave away the career majors won record so that he could bang a Perkins waitress in an SUV behind her restaurant.
How the fuck else would you do this job?
And yet here we are, O.J. Simpson jumping over, you know, railings in airports, gave away tens of millions of millions of millions of dollars his entire life because he couldn't let go of his wife.
Yep.
Like, it's amazing to me.
And that's why I say it's, I don't wish Tiger ill will at all. Like, it's incredibly concerning that he almost died yesterday.
No, you don't wish him ill
will. I think that what I wish is that Tiger would, what's very clear to me in this whole situation is there's two types of athletes in this world, right? Look at LeBron, for example, just as an example. LeBron is a guy who understands that he's a billionaire and is never going to need to make another dollar in his life, right?
Yep.
Now, he still wants to make that money, but what he really and truly understands is that he's not going to get away from the core of why he wanted to be an NBA player, which was to get out of the hood and take care of his family, and he's done that now. And now he's done so well that not only is he going to take care of his mother and his immediate family, he's going to take care of his kids, their kids, and everybody else. And then what he understands,
generations
too,
deep.
So he's got the generational wealth, but then what he understands, too, is that now he's got to build things that will outlast his life so that his family continues to be taken care of. So what that's done for him, and my point here, is that he's got processes and structure in place to make sure he's never in a position to embarrass himself or be leveraged or be in a bad spot. Whereas Tiger Woods, for example, doesn't have that. Tiger Woods is just one dude who's made a lot of money golfing.
What LeBron gets that Tiger does not is that it's cool that you're a multimillionaire. Probably a $100 millionaire.
Probably.
If you're LeBron.
Yeah.
Right?
No, LeBron, I think LeBron's pushing a billion. Tiger's a $100 millionaire for sure.
Okay, cool.
But yeah,
a lot
you've
got
money.
More money
yeah.
than anybody needs.
Yeah.
What's the difference between LeBron and Tiger? LeBron built the people around him into millionaires so they didn't have to carry them. Tiger Woods is busy hanging around hookers and porn stars and Perkins waitresses.
Yeah.
LeBron invested in his circle. He made them agents. He made them entertainers.
Which, by the way, I find it so fascinating that people are just now figuring out that LeBron is the one who runs his sports agency through Rich Paul and all those guys.
Really?
Like, I saw on Twitter the other day, there was a whole story about how people just started figuring this out. Like, did you really think that LeBron was going to let his high school buddy run his sports agency? LeBron just can't do it because there's a conflict of interest. He can't have the title. But LeBron's the one making the decisions.
Yeah.
Do people not get that? Like, so I, you know.
And look how many guys that are represented by Rich Paul are on the Lakers.
Yep.
He surrounds himself with his people. And he builds the, that's, and this is, and I don't mean to get to all, you know, knowing or omnipotent.
Advice
or,
from Uncle Monty.
If you have tens of millions of dollars, you need to build the people around you.
Yeah.
So that they are not a drain on you. All right, real quick, because we got to go. Did you see this video of this kid being yanked under its crib by a ghost?
It was kind of crazy.
So in the UK, and my wife is sitting off in the distance being like, you guys are idiots. Ghosts aren't real. There is no heaven.
It's not fucking real, right?
So go ahead and fuck off. So there's a video caught on a baby cam.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a baby sleeping on a bed, a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, a toy under her bed starts playing music.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, what the hell is going on here, man? The kid gets woken up, crawls next to the bed, and you see the kid get pulled under the bed and all of a sudden starts screaming for its mother.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me ghosts aren't real.
The baby's body moved was very strange.
It was as though somebody under the bed was pulling the baby along the floor under the bed.
Because, you know, like there's a difference between the baby kind of like crawling along and kind of like trying to inch its way under the bed because it just physically isn't capable. This baby like was like
slid under
like,
the bed.
Yeah.
Like, and it started was very yelling, different. Mommy!
It was very different.
Yeah. I've seen Poltergeist. I know how this shit works.
Mm-hmm.
I know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, I watch Ghost Adventures. I know what Bobby Mackey's Music House is all about.
Dude.
Okay? Bobby Mackey was under that bed.
Bro, did you hear what Post Malone did this week? So Post Malone went to, in Utah, there's in Ghost Adventures here. Remember the Skinwalker Ranch? Yes. Post Malone went there, apparently. I didn't know that Post Malone was like some sort of like paranormal
Mrs.
enthusiast.
Mrs. Monty wants to go and see this stuff, even though she don't believe
skinwalkers are like that. I don't quite understand all that.
No, that seems next level.
Why? Just don't go there at night. That's all I'm saying. Don't go there at night, man.
How about don't go there ever?
Yeah, don't go there, man. You know
why?
You don't need that.
Why would you do that? Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay. Do you believe you've ever been sexually assaulted by a ghost?
No. No.
Okay. Nope. Just checking.
If you guys ever want to kick it, we'll flow.
Yeah, me and the ghost.
Just under the bed, you know.
We're gonna kick it and flow. I've seen ghosts.
Uh-huh.
I've seen what Patrick Swayze did to Demi Moore. I know how. I've seen Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
I know this stuff is real.
Yeah.
I know it's real.
Uh-huh.
My psychic told me she sees ghosts. It's real, man.
I signed up a psychic the other week at Yelp. It's just hilarious.
Did
she
know
like
you
just
were calling?
Printing money.
Did she know you were calling?
She didn't say I knew you were going to call, but she's like, this feels right.
Jake, you should go to the doctor and have him look at your left testicle. Anyway, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
Follow us everywhere. Just Google search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Until tomorrow, say hands off my nuts, lady.
Hands off my nuts, lady.